Our reading tonight is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Last week we looked at the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she was to conceive and bear a son called Jesus, and this week we'll look at it from, I suppose, the other perspective, the angel coming and making a similar announcement to Joseph. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, do please have your Bibles open at that passage that we read earlier on from Matthew's Gospel. Someone recently described Christmas as a strange, misshapen jamboree, when much fake bonhomie and fake cheer fills the air. And I don't know, I suppose there's some truth in that. That writer certainly wasn't mincing his words. I suppose the reality is that everyone insists that we must celebrate at this time of the year. Everyone insists that we must rejoice and be happy and smiling all the time, but that insistence can just be so insistent, I suppose, that we're ending up tempted to say, along with Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbug. Sometimes it can just be all a bit too much at this time of the year, can't it? And yet, whatever your own particular view of Christmas, as Christians, we really do have something to celebrate at this time of the year, and indeed throughout the year. We really do have a reason to rejoice both now and always. And of course, the reason we have to celebrate, the reason that we can rejoice, is because Jesus Christ was born into this world. He came into this world about 2,000 years ago, and this evening we'll just spend some time looking at the birth of Jesus Christ from this passage in Matthew. And there are three things that I want us to notice, three reasons that we have to celebrate at this time of the year. The first one is this: the power of Jesus's birth, or more accurately, the power behind Jesus's conception. Now, we looked a little bit at this last week, so I'm not going to spend too long on it this evening. But as you can see in our passage, the first couple of verses, Mary, who is betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they come together in their marital union, she is found to be with child. And as we read, that child is from the Holy Spirit, just as we saw last week. The angel Gabriel promised that she would conceive, that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and the might of God would overshadow her so that she would conceive by supernatural means. So that same announcement now comes to Joseph in this passage. But it's clear, isn't it, that he, Joseph, assumes, understandably so, that Mary has become pregnant by another man, and such illicit, such immoral activity required retribution. But Joseph, as well as being a just man, as we read, he's also a compassionate man, and we read in verse 19 that he's unwilling to put Mary, his betrothed, to shame, and so he plans to divorce her quietly. He doesn't want to expose her to the public disgrace that she would have faced had it become known that, at least as it appeared on the surface, she was pregnant by another man. And as Joseph considers this, as he considers how to go about divorcing her quietly, we read in verse 20 that an angel of the Lord, probably Gabriel, appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Just as Mary had been told, as we read last week in Luke's Gospel, that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, so now Joseph receives the same message. And he needn't fear, as the angel says, he needn't fear that Mary has acted immorally. She is pregnant, you see, by direct divine intervention. That is what the angel reports here. And so we see, as we noticed last week, that just as the world was created by divine power, when light broke into the darkness right at the beginning of time, so also, by that same divine power, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, broke into the darkness of a virgin's womb. Jesus' conception happened by the sheer, unadulterated power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus' birth tells us. It tells us that divine power has entered into space-time history. That is one of the things that we celebrate at Christmas time. We celebrate divine power, the power of God breaking into the history of this world. But that, of course, raises the question, and this leads me to my next point. For what purpose did divine power break into this broken world? For what purpose did the Holy Spirit overshadow Mary, causing her to conceive? And we can sum up the purpose, can't we, in one word, namely salvation. Just look down at verse 21 with me. There the angel says to Joseph, "She," that is Mary, "will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins." Why was Jesus born into this world? It's all in his name, as we saw with the children this morning. It's all in his name. He came into this world to be our Savior, to save his people from their sins. This is the purpose of his birth, to save us and to bring us to God. And isn't it good to know, as we reflect on this evening, isn't it good for us to know that we have such a Savior? Isn't it good for us to know that we have exactly the Savior that we need? That we have the Savior who takes away the heavy load of our guilt and our shame and our condemnation. He takes away the heavy load of our sin, and he says, "Place it upon my shoulders and let me carry it for you. Let me carry it on your behalf." Isn't it good news for us tonight to know that we have such a Savior? We can be, can't we, weighed down by so many, many things in this world, weighed down to the point where we feel as if we just cannot carry on. We see no way out. We are surrounded by darkness, and we just wonder how we are going to carry on. We can be weighed down by seemingly impossibly heavy loads. Heavy loads like anxiety and fear and doubt and depression and worry and distress and sadness and grief and ill health and you name it. There are so many, many things that can completely weigh us down, and it can feel like these are heavy loads, too heavy for us to bear. But of course, there is one load that really is too heavy, far too heavy for us to bear. And that is the load of our sin. There is no way we can carry that. There is no way that we can deal with it. We can do nothing about the disease, the sickness, the death of our sin. Nothing whatsoever. We are completely helpless in the face of that heavy load. After all, we were conceived in sin. We were conceived in iniquity. From the moment of our conception, we were sinners. We carried that guilt of Adam's original sin. We are all by nature guilty and wretched and damnable sinners. That is who we are, heading inexorably towards hell. That is what we are like. The minute we are conceived, the minute we come into this world, we are under the wrath of God, and there is nothing that we can do about it. There is nothing in ourselves that we can do to escape from the hell to which we are headed. There is no way anyone in this world can save themselves from that heaviest of loads, the load of sin. A sinner can no more save himself than a leopard can change its spots, or a dead man can raise himself to life. We need, don't we? We are in desperate need of someone to come into this sin-infected world, to come into our sin-infected lives from the outside. We need someone to come into this world, and that is who we have. That is who we have in Jesus Christ. This is the gift of God to us. Jesus, the sinless one, conceived not in iniquity, conceived in holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the sinless one, who is therefore able to save his people from their sins. And if he has borne that heaviest of loads on our behalf, if he has said, let me take that load that you cannot bear, and I will carry it for you, because I know that you cannot do it. If he has said that to us, then will he not also help us to bear all of those other loads that can seem to just weigh us down, so that there is no way out? This is what we celebrate at this time of the year. We celebrate him who once lay in a manger, but who would go on to hang upon a cross. We celebrate him who was conceived in the darkness of Mary's womb, and who would go on to die in the darkness of dereliction. We celebrate him who of course came forth from Mary's womb into life in this world, and who would go on to break forth from the tomb and so give to us life in the world to come. And we celebrate him who did all of this for us. We celebrate the one who saves us from our sins. Do you, my friends, do you know this Jesus? I know we're so used to speaking about Jesus as our Savior that it can become so incredibly familiar, and we lose sight of the sheer wonder that we have a Savior. When we were completely lost and had no hope whatsoever, we were shrouded in darkness and there was no light. We were paralyzed by the guilt of our sin, completely dead, like spiritual corpses. But God gave us a Savior to rescue us. And this is what we celebrate. This is what we rejoice in, that we do have someone who has come in from the outside and rescued us. Can you this evening say, Jesus, which means Saviour. Yes, Jesus is my Saviour. Have you said to him, Lord Jesus, I cannot bear the heavy load of my sins. But I know that you can. And I know that in your goodness, you are willing to bear the heavy load of my sin. So please take my sin and bear it on my behalf. Say that to him, and he will take it all away from you. He came, after all, for this very purpose. He came to save sinners. And so we celebrate at this time of the year not just the inbreaking of divine power into this world, but the very purpose for which that divine power broke into this world, namely that sinners such as us would be saved and brought into newness of life. And then thirdly and finally, we also celebrate the promise of Jesus' birth. I don't often get alliteration, I have to say, in my sermon points, but this evening you have those three words beginning with P, the power of Jesus' birth and the purpose of Jesus' birth, and then finally the promise of Jesus' birth. Just look down with me at verses 22 and 23. There we read, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus' birth fulfilled the promise of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a promise, a prophecy that had been spoken over 700 years before Christ came into this world. That prophecy, that promise, was then realized in the coming of Jesus. You see, God always keeps his word. For 700 years, the people had waited. Just imagine that. And I suppose for about 400 years or so, there had been no word from the Lord. They were a people in darkness in that sense, I suppose. For 700 years, the people of God had been waiting for the promise of Isaiah 7 and all of those other messianic promises to come about, to be fulfilled. And now they come and are fulfilled and realized in this tiny little baby who was born of a virgin. God, my friends, God always keeps his word. His promises are sure and certain. And so we can be absolutely firm in our faith. Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. God with us. God with us in his very person. How he brought together, joined together in perfect unity, God and man. God with us in power to save and to deliver. God with us to defend us and to protect us. God with us to lead us and to guide us, to comfort and to console us. And you see, he is always God with us. He is always God with us. Here Matthew begins his gospel by saying this promise of Emmanuel, God with us, has been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And do you remember how Matthew ends his gospel? With the great commission where Jesus sends out his disciples to make disciples of all nations. And what does he say right at the end? What are his very last words? He says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, to the very end of history. Jesus is always with his people by his Spirit. Matthew brackets his book with this wonderful promise of Emmanuel. In Jesus, God is with you. He is with his church. As Peter was saying in his prayer, Christmas can be one of the loneliest times of the year, can't it? It can be so incredibly lonely for so many, many people. Excruciatingly lonely for those who perhaps don't have any family or don't have any friends. Devastatingly lonely for those who remember the family and the friends that they once had but who have now passed on, and all they have are those memories. Maybe some of you tonight feel just so desperately lonely. You can be comforted beyond words by this wonderful promise of Scripture that in Jesus Christ, you're actually not on your own at all. You are not on your own whatsoever. God in Christ is with you, and he is with you always to the very end of the age. Whatever your plans are this Christmas, make it your priority to celebrate Jesus. Jesus who came into this world by the power of God, the power of the Spirit. Make it your priority to celebrate Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners, the one who alone is able to rescue you from that turmoil in which you are by nature. Make it your aim, your priority to celebrate Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with you. And let me say this finally. Let me encourage you to do what I've called a Joseph. Do a Joseph. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by doing a Joseph? What I mean is this, that this just and compassionate man, this obedient and faithful man, he goes on and does exactly what he's told to do, doesn't he? This man who raised the very Son of God in his home. Imagine that, raising the Son of God according to his humanity in your very home. What must that have been like? Incredible. This man, Joseph, does what? He just fades into the background, doesn't he? I mean, we hardly hear of Joseph again. There's a little bit about him in the second chapter of Matthew, but otherwise he just disappears into the shadows. He exits the stage, and Jesus, of course, takes center stage. And shouldn't this be the hallmark of our lives as well? This should be what characterizes us. We should be those who fade into the background so that Jesus might be all in all. We should be those who disappear into the shadows so that the light of Christ might shine brightly. Christmas, and indeed the whole of life, Christmas and all of our life is about him. It's not about you, it's not about me. So do a Joseph. Exit the stage so that Jesus might be where he rightfully belongs, right at the very center. This is the one that we celebrate. We don't celebrate ourselves. We don't celebrate so much our family or our friends. We don't celebrate the celebrities of this world. We celebrate the one who came into this world by the power of the Spirit, the one who is the Savior of sinners, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. We have great reason, brothers and sisters, great reason to celebrate and to rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for all that it meant. We thank you that he came into this world as the Savior of sinners, the only one who is able to rescue us and to redeem us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with your people, and that you are with us always. We pray that you would help us in the midst of all of the noise of Christmas, all of the other celebrations. May we most of all celebrate and rejoice in you. May our hearts ascend in love to you. May we fade into the background, that you might take center stage in our lives. And this we pray in your name. Amen.